Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Great stuff. Greg Allen, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, the Irish diaspora spreads far and wide around the world. And I know you have relations without question, be it in Canada or Australia or Dubai or across Europe. The question is, what is it like raising Irish children abroad? What is it like raising kids abroad and giving them a sense of Irishness or Irish identity? One Irish man who lives overseas has been writing about his experience with his own kids in today's Irish Times. Fantastic article. And he joins me now from Brussels. Owen Walsh, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
I must say I enjoyed your article this morning, no question about it. Explain to people the conundrum you came across, and only after your two kids were born and were living with you effectively for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, so I live in Brussels and I've been here since 2009. And I'd say when I moved over, I was pretty happy to leave. I mean, we think back to then, it was, you know, right in the middle of the crash. There weren't that many jobs around. I came over to study and I kind of found a job and I stayed here. And I'd say, you know, if somebody had asked me, they would have said, yeah, I wore my Irishness fairly lightly. You know, I kind of left it behind when I left and tried my best to integrate myself here, a Flemish wife and learning the language and not really thinking about Ireland at all, really. And then I had two kids in 2014 and 2016. And sort of the older that they got, you know, 2-3 years old, starting to read them stories and everything, the more I started thinking about the stories that we used to read when we were kids back in Ireland, you know, the myths and the legends and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I started reading to them. And in that process, kind of reconnected a little bit with, you know, that kind of Irishness, the stories, the places, and felt a little bit guilty for keeping them away from it too.
Did you?
I wanted them to know a little bit about where I came from. And especially as they got older, I mean, anyone who has kids will know the older they get, the more curious they get. Mm. They start asking questions. And it was especially, I think, during lockdown, during COVID, you know, they start asking me like, oh, you're from Ireland. You know, why do you speak, you know, you should speak Irish. Why do you speak English? And then obviously, you know, you get into the whole story about what that's about. And we start reading, you know, about Cú Chulainn and Oisín and Fionn and all of these different places. And their curiosity is immediately piqued because, I mean, Belgium, compared to Ireland, it doesn't have that kind of story tradition, you know?
That mythology and all that. And so it was it was their questions, Owen, that kind of prompted you say, to reevaluate your own attitude to Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they had a lot of kind of basic questions, you know, like why was my name spelled the way it was? And could I teach them? Did I know any Irish? Could I teach them any Irish? So, for example, during lockdown, I think probably the first lockdown, I managed to teach them how to count to 20 in Irish, which is probably, to be honest, the extent of where my Irish goes at the moment as well.
Yeah, it's good enough.
it's good enough. And just before I got on the phone, I went to check with one of them to see, you know, if they could still count to 20. And unfortunately, it's been lost. It's been lost already.
Come back, yeah. But go on. So, and what do you speak with them now at home in Brussels?
So I speak English. My wife is Flemish, so they speak Dutch. I speak English to them. And they speak Dutch more or less because they don't really know that many. They don't know that many Irish people over here or English people, English speaking people. Frankly, I'd say probably I'm the only Irish person that they know. So they don't get a lot of exposure. And the one exposure they really do have to the language and also to the traditions back in Ireland is by reading them books from Ireland.
But it strikes me that they live in a place that's very multicultural. So it's no skin off their nose or no burden to move from one shop to another, be it speak Dutch in one, English in another, or French, or whatever the case may be, and they just realize that that's the way it is. So did they start asking you questions about Ireland and Irishness because it wasn't present at home? Is that it?
I think that's probably a little bit of it. They were kind of, that absence was kind of curious. And the older they got as well, you know, in school, they were able to go in on St. Patrick's Day, for example, wearing a little bit of green, and then obviously the kids in the class and the teacher would have questions about Ireland, which sometimes they wouldn't have been able to answer. And then we didn't really have an opportunity to travel back to Ireland before the pandemic, and obviously during the pandemic it became difficult. But then when things relaxed a little bit, we were able to go back and they were able to explore it. And kind of what's interesting is when we would read a story, you know, book set in Dublin, we could then go to Dublin and visit the places in the story and show them that, you know, it's real. And I remember particularly a penny dropped at one point when I had to explain to them. I don't know if you're familiar with the series of books by Peter Donnelly, The President's Pigeon and The President's Glasses.
Yeah.
They're all about Michael Dee. I was able to explain to them, well, he's actually a real person, you know, because for them, he was a funny old man in the story. And then I was able to say, well, actually, you know, he's a real person. And, you know, when we went to Dublin Zoo, it was like, well, his house is just around the corner and this is the zoo from the story. And especially now that they're older, they're like, they're asking me, you know, when can we go? Can we go visit this place? Can we go and visit that place? All those sorts of things.
So, and if I was to ask you now, right, have you given your kids a sense of Irishness? And how did you go? How did you do it in two or three lines? What would you say?
I would say read as many of the old Irish myths and legends as you can. Talk to them about it, you know, do the St. Paddy's Day, get them dressed up in green. If you speak the language, I have friends in Brussels who speak Irish, speak the language with the kids, and they'll pick it up. And it's totally normal, as you said, because so many of their friends at school are half of one thing and half of another thing.
And can I ask you this? What would it matter if you didn't give them a sense of Irishness?
I think probably when they grew up, they'd find it a bit peculiar. You know, there'd be a blank space in their family background, because they know so much about their Flemish and their Belgian background. Their great grandmother is still alive, for example, so there's a connection all the way back to before World War II. To not have that on their Irish side, I think as they get older, especially as they, you know, hit teenage years and into their 20s and 30s and have kids of their own who might have questions of their own, they wouldn't be able to answer those questions. So I felt like, as I said a little bit earlier on, you know, it was incumbent on me to at least introduce them to it. And then if they were interested, they could take it on. And if they weren't, well, then, you know, it's always there.
And have they softened your attitude to Ireland then and Irish identity?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're able to, I think, as you get a little bit older, I'm in my late 30s now, any kind of hang-ups you might have had as a teenager, as a person in their early 20s making their world in the way, you kind of lose them a little bit, I think, with age and wisdom and all the rest of it. And also, I think the geographical distance allows you a little bit to re-evaluate your attitude to the island. And so it's constantly changing as well. And something I found as well myself is reading contemporary adult fiction and nonfiction is a way of kind of getting into the country and what it's like at the moment, even though I'm only there maybe once, twice a year.
Yeah. Do you know what? You're a fascinating man to talk to. There's no question about it, because it's a conundrum being faced by so many Irish people in so many countries around the world. And I'd love for them to email drivetime@rte.ie and let them know how they've gone about it, if they've gone about it, and if they've faced the same kind of dilemmas as Owen has. Owen Walsh, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Gurmila Mahogath, and I hope you come back to Ireland and give them more of a sense of Irish identity at some point in the near future. Owen, thanks very much indeed.